Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Amen. So today we're going to have anointing with oil after the message, and try not go for so long with the message, just an encouragement for you. And we'll have anointing with oil. And the way that's going to work is the ushers will coordinate it, just giving you a heads up. If you want to be anointed with oil, you're most welcome to come up and be anointed with oil. If you don't want to be anointed this morning, you may remain in your seat. If you can't come to the front, we will come to you and anoint you. And later on today, we'll visit some people in their homes to anoint them because they can't be here. But what I want to say is that the anointing is powerful and it breaks the yoke. And you've been obedient these last 3 weeks. According to Isaiah 58, you have done the things that God has asked you to do. And what does he say? If you do these things, your light will break forth speedily. Your healing will come. Your deliverance will come. And so you need to see that this morning when you're anointed. It's not my wife or I that are anointing. You're being anointed by the Holy Spirit. That is who is anointing you. The power is his. It's coming from him. Amen. And so you're going to have a great year. Amen. Based on that. So we thank you, Father God, for this time this morning and for your word. I thank you, Father God, for the great things that you have in store for this church, Father. And Father, I thank you for the great things you have in store for the body of Christ in Scotland, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that we don't stand alone in this place this morning, Father, but we stand here this morning in the company of the body of Christ in various places, towns, villages, and cities across Scotland, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that there is something rising, Father God, that there is a rising, Father God, taking place. And we can sense it, Father God, that the old has passed away and all things become new, Father God, this morning. And so, Father, I thank you that as we shake off our past today, as we step out of our shoes and into new shoes, as we leave this last period of time behind us, we walk into your blessing, we walk into your provision, Father. And we also, according to Acts 4, we walk forward speaking your word boldly, Father God, as ministers of your gospel, Father God. So I thank you, Lord, this morning that every person here is a minister. Every person here is a champion for Christ. And so, Father, I thank you for the heart of a champion in every person here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you receive that? It's good to be a champion. Amen. I've got a message this morning, and it's called Champions by the Anointing. And we know, I'm sure all of you will realize that there's a struggle taking place in the world today, and it concerns the, in inverted commas, small g, the gods of this age, the spirit of this age, and our God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sidkenu, all of those names, that is the God we serve. And he is poles apart from the gods of this world, of this age. Would you agree with that? And the struggle's been taking place for a long time, and it's going to continue for a long time until the time that Revelation tells us of, amen, where finally the enemy meets his fate. But until such time, the struggle is real, and it continues. Amen? So, because we all, sometimes we think we're in a good place, we've got an easy ride through this, but there's a struggle. And when you have the anointing of God on your life, he is going to you're going to be challenged to go to new levels. And we were having a chat about this the other day. So we've heard the saying about higher levels, higher devils. New levels, new greater things coming against you. And it was Pastor Jensen Franklin that was talking about it. It was astonishing because he said something that was a revelation to me. He says, everyone thinks, well, just be a private. I can just be in the church, I attend church, and the attack, I know that God, you've called me to pastor, but I know if I step out and I go and pastor, there's a target on my back. Yeah? But higher levels, higher devils, really? Higher levels of angelic protection. Higher levels, more of God's keeping power. More of that. In many ways, staying where you are at is not a safe place to be. God's called you up, and we all need to come up, and that's going to be a challenging thing. So when you step out and you go higher, there's a divine protection that will come with that. Sure, the system of this world and the God of this world is going to be mad at that. Hey, Johnny, it's going to be like, no way. But you will have that protection. Amen? So there's at the core of the system of this world, there's an enmity with God, isn't it? And that enmity, we're talking about active opposition and open hostility towards the kingdom of God, isn't it? We're active opposition, open hostility towards the kingdom of God and to you, the redeemed of the Lord. Say this, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. You are the redeemed of the Lord, and there is active opposition against you. So it's vital that every Christian has the Holy Spirit and operates in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You've got to carry the anointing with you. And it's vital, vital, vital that we're refreshed often. Friday night was a time of refreshing. Amen. In Acts 3:19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that what? Times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing come from being in the presence of the Lord. It's important to see that the refreshing times are connected to being in God's presence. And that's why I love refreshments. Refreshing things are just so good, amen? And I discovered to my cost years ago, my wife would back me up on this, that I thought all I need to do to be refreshed is take a holiday and recharge my batteries. There I'm going to refresh, only to find out that when I got back home, I felt little different to when I left. Why? Because I used to go away and leave the dynamo of my life, the Holy Spirit and God's word behind, and go on holiday to be refreshed. What a dumb kopf. Just, you know, go away, I'm going to be refreshed, but we leave the dynamo of our lives behind, and we need him with us wherever we go, even when we go on holiday, amen? So we uninvite God's word and the Holy Spirit, and we go and we refresh ourselves in whichever way. If the cap fits, wear it. I'm wearing mine. Whichever way we see fit. But it has a counterproductive cost. So we need to remember that the refreshing comes from being in the presence of God. When you go on holiday, stay in God's presence. Amen. So Friday night was so good. There was liberty here in the Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians, yes, amen. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty wherever the Spirit of God is. Amen. So we need these times of refreshing. Amen. And it's quite good that the word uses, you know, a metaphor often for water and the refreshing. You know, it talks about our thirst being quenched, and if you drink from me, you'll never thirst again. And it uses the metaphor of water a lot in the Bible. Amen. Just like the song we sang this morning, we receive your rain like a flood. You mean floods, water, rain? I mean it's refreshing. And we need that refreshing every day. And the reason we need it is because as carriers of the anointing, we need to protect that. We need to protect that anointing, and we need to stay energized by the anointing. It's important to protect it. Amen? So, do you know that you're the carriers of God's anointing? Amen? Those chosen, that's you and I, we're the carriers of God's anointing. And you know, we've always been given the opportunity, and in many cases, the challenge, okay, as carriers of God's anointing, to demonstrate whose God actually does have the upper hand. Who's really in charge? Amen? Whose God is in the ascendancy? Whose God has the advantage? Or whatever way people out there wish to view it. You're going to be challenged. People will come against you and they will say, okay, let's see about your God. Anyone, that sound familiar? Old Testament, some things going on there. Yeah? But God's champions were valiant. These guys, these women and men were valiant in the anointing. And there's valiant men and women here this morning. I see every single one of you as valiant men and women. God sees you as potential champions. We'll come to that. Now, if we can sit here and say we are champions, praise God. But there's potential there. Amen. We're going to have a look at that. Amen. So these champions of God, they had an anointing bestowed on them. And it's like that old saying or the old method, chosen, appointed, and anointed. It's not just a nice saying. This is real. Being chosen, appointed, and anointed is a serious thing. And it's not just a nice Christian saying that people like to say now and again, because sometimes the danger is with our Christianity is we allow some very weighty things of the Lord to become rather glib and rather, you know, but it's serious. Amen? And so let's look a bit more at the anointing before we talk about a couple of champions of God. In Luke 4:18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Okay, so Jesus needed the anointing to do these things. He needed the anointing to do them. How much more do we need the anointing? Jesus needed to be anointed to do these things. So I need the anointing to bring good news. Yeah? I need the anointing to bring good news. Oh, come on, you know, surely good news is good news. Any good news is good news. No, only if it's good news to the hearer. It's only if it's good news to the hearer. And the other thing is there's a delivery involved in all of this. Good news for the sake of good news didn't make any difference to me. But the way someone brings the bearer of good news and the tider of good news, now that's where the anointing comes in. Because the good news has been here for all time. So what makes the difference? If this is such good news, why are the Gideons not the Bibles not out of print, Joe? Why are Scottish Bible Society not overwhelmed if this is the good news? Because the anointing is on the bearer of the good news, on the bringer of it, isn't it? It's the truth. It's the bearer. It's us. We're the anointing. This is the reason why we need the anointing. So there's a delivery involved. And I never forget this. It was someone that said to me when I was in my sales training, "David, everything's in the delivery." Do you know what? I mean, listen, I know this sounds bad, but you could sell a broken down car to someone if the delivery was right. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you could actually sell something that wasn't fit for purpose. But the world calls these guys con artists. So, you know what I'm saying? So the delivery is important. Amen? Compassion is fueled by love. When you deliver something with compassion, compassion is fueled by love and is delivered with a spirit of love. So your delivery, everything comes back down to loving that person enough to deliver this message, this good news to this person. And the Spirit has to be working through us always, amen? We can't think we can do these things without the anointing. And that's why today's important. That's why today's important. You know, anyone have heard about the sons of Sceva, the seven sons of Sceva? Sceva was this chief priest, right, guy, and he had seven sons. And obviously, back in that particular time, Paul was going around and there were miracle signs and wonders happening. These guys were pretenders, okay? If you go and you read that passage of scripture, they actually had not been chosen. They had no delegated authority. They were just sons of this priest guy. And they tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. So they didn't even understand their authority. They didn't understand authority at all. And they were literally left naked and beat up by one demon-possessed man because they didn't understand the anointing. They had not been chosen. You understand? Jesus chose 12 men. Those 12 men became 70-something, became 100, became 1,000, became, do you understand, in the infancy of the church. So only certain men had been chosen and sent. And you can read that. If you don't have to put it up unless we've got it. Mark 3, 13 to 19. Do we have that? I don't have my specs on. Go to the next verse. Then he appointed 12 that he might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Go to the next verse. And to have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Go to the next one. And so on it goes. So Jesus had the power and he gave it. He chose, he appointed, and he said, there's the authority. And the church grew from there through delegated authority. Amen? It's important to understand that. So if Jesus has called out to you, then he wants you. Amen? Don't waste time in responding because he's got an appointed time for you to do something. Is there anyone in here, don't put your hands up, but if there's anyone in here and you feel such a strong call of Jesus in your life, don't waste time. Act on it as soon as you can. Amen? Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God, and the good news is that we can have the same anointing. Amen? Why did Jesus need to be anointed? Why did he need to be anointed? Because if Jesus had been ministering as the Son of God, he wouldn't have needed the anointing. But he wasn't. He was ministering as a man. He was ministering as a man just like us. And that's why he needed the anointing. It's powerful to understand that. He never worked a miracle, never healed the sick until he was baptized by John the Baptist and anointed. And then almost like straight after that, the wedding feast at Cana, he performs his first miracle. Amen. Remember, we had a message on the back end of last year. It was actually his mother that sped up that whole process. Because his mom comes to him and says, listen, we're going to have angry guests here in a minute because all of the wine has run out. And he's like, what did he say to his mom? Something like, woman, it's not my time. It's not time yet. And his mom, you see, you have to listen to your ma. His mom says, now is the time. And then that's when the miracle happened, amen? So the anointing. And if you go to Acts 10:38, this is Peter sharing or retelling this story to Cornelius' household in Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. God was with him. We can also be anointed for teaching, preaching, healing, and for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are the things that are going to just turn this world upside down. It's these signs and wonders and miracles that are really going to make the difference. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us." If you're in Christ, is anyone in Christ this morning? Put your hands up if you're in Christ. That same anointing is on you and in you. Because of Jesus Christ, there's an anointing for everything that you've called to do. Even your CrossFit session is anointed. Even your bridge all-terrainers running up hills, even bridge hikers when we go out together, whatever we're called to do where we can reach people and make a difference, that can be anointed. Amen? Doesn't matter how great or how small the task. And see if you feel that, you know what, I don't feel called to anything great. You don't despise that. Your anointing for what seems small is great. Don't ever this is what I believe I should be doing. Just if God is calling you, just do what he tells you to do. We need to do what he tells us to do, amen? Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," amen? Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that word Christ, that's from the Greek word Christos, amen? And the Hebrew word Messiah, which both mean the anointing and the anointed one. Amen. So what did the Apostle Paul mean when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me"? What did he mean by that? What he meant was, if you look there and notice, he says, "I can do all things through Christ," which, does that say which? That says who. Okay, this version of the word I'm looking at says, "which strengtheneth me." Okay, so he's talking about the anointing. In either case, anyway, he's talking about the anointing. And our strength is linked to the anointing. If you operate in your anointing, you operate in it from a position of strength. If you operate outside of the anointing, it'll be futile. And there's a likelihood that you'll fail. So the anointing is important. I'm just setting a scene here so that, you know, you understand that the anointing is needed. Amen? So, how will we do greater works than Jesus? It's only with the anointing can we do the greater works. So we've got to go in God's anointing to do whatever we've got to do. Play the piano with God's anointing, whatever it is you do. You know, run your business, work in your job, everything. Amen? We go in God's anointing. What do you guys think of the anointing? Do you think that the anointing is just that still small voice? Or is the anointing that earth-shaking? Again, amen. There we go. Praise the Lord. So anyway, so he's talking about the anointing. So our strength is linked to the anointing. John 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." So we just need God's anointing. Amen. We need that anointing. So when we were speaking about, what do you think the anointing is? Is it that small, still voice, or is it that earth-shaking, room-trembling anointing? Well, the truth is they're both real. They're both real, they're both true, they're both active right now in this time. They're both being experienced on the earth today. But I want to be able to experience more of the earth shaking than the still small voice, because I think Scotland needs more shaking. I think Scotland needs more shaking. The still small voices will guide us. In our living rooms, in our beds, and when you're sitting in your poang chair in the morning with your cup of rooibos tea reading your Bible. That is when the still small voice is operating. But when you step out of your front door, that is when we need the earth-shaking anointing. Because that's when you can go to someone and you can have a conversation with them, or you can do something like that, or do something that you've never done before. Amen? So this is why we want that. You know, and if I asked all of you this morning, who would you rather have with you? If I said, actually, I will. Who would you rather have with you this morning, the Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit? That is the sign of a mature church. I love it. Because many people might say, yeah, Jesus, imagine if I could have Jesus Christ with me right now. I could touch him, see him, feel him, and he's right here. And wow, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. There you go. There you go. But the answer is not Jesus. The answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is the Holy Ghost. That's who we need right here and now. Amen. And amazingly, Jesus says that to his disciples, I have to leave you now, because if I don't, the helper's not going to come. And it says there, this is good in the Amplified Bible in John 16:7. It says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, listen to this one, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him the Holy Spirit to be in close fellowship with you. Amen. And in John 14, verse 16 to 18, he says there, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, etc., to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive and take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him, but you will know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Isn't that good news? Comfortless, bereaved, and helpless, I will come back to you. Another, he says there, I'll give you another. You know, everything that Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is. The essence of Jesus is in the Holy Ghost. So we mustn't be concerned that we don't have Jesus. It's like the essence of Jesus Christ is in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything is there. You know what? Jesus is towards the Father on our behalf. The Holy Spirit is from the Father back towards us. He's the bringer of those things from the throne room back to us. And it says here, why can't the world see, know? Because of the veil. And so, you know, this is we need to explain to them and witness to them, reach out to them, get through to them so that the veil is lifted and they can see. Amen? That's our task. Praise the Lord. So let's just look at one champion. Have we got time? What's the time, honey? Oh, praise God. Let's look at a champion of God. You know, I said essentially people are always trying to prove whose God is the real God and whose God's false. Like, true or false? True or false? But I've got a message that I think I'll bring in the future on this, but I'll give you a foretaste of it just now because it's good. And I never knew this. But you know, in Exodus 5:2, it talks about the plagues that were brought on Egypt. Okay? Pharaoh basically says to Moses, in Exodus 5:2, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let them go. If that doesn't sound like total defiance, total, you know, I don't give a hoot who your God is. Look at our gods, Isis, Kuma, Apsis, all of these Egyptian gods, gods of the river, gods of fertility, gods of childbirth, gods of this, gods of that. They had tons of gods. And he's like, do you know what? Who even is your God? Who even is your God? So the challenge begins to see whose God really was the true God, more powerful. And you know, I didn't realize this, but the plagues that came onto Egypt, they were related to the gods that they served. Like, what? I didn't know that. The first plague was the River Nile turned to blood. Well, they had three gods of the Nile River. One was Apis, the god of the Nile, Isis, the goddess of the Nile, and Khnum, the guardian of the Nile. It wasn't just because the Nile was so important to Egypt. It was, you know what rivers are like? They're the economic, I mean, look, you'll know this in Swaziland. Water is a source of life. And economies, communities, and everything are built around these sources of life. First plague, blood. It turns the River of Nile into a stinking stench pool of blood. But what's happening here? God is addressing the fact that your gods are no match. That they're nothing. Isn't that interesting? And he goes on through every plague. And then through every plague, you see that what God is doing is not just sending a plague of frogs, but that he is going directly against that deity that the Egyptians have set up for themselves. Didn't know that. And so it was really interesting. After all this, what's Pharaoh told? By this you will know that I am God. By this, Moses, a champion, a valiant man, who just stood in his anointing, even though sometimes he didn't want to, and he just stayed there. Amen. Pharaoh's heart wasn't moved by the first plague. And you know, doesn't matter though. There's people that have stood fast and they've defied the odds coming against them. These are God's champions. And you are God's champions. I see that you can be God's champions, full of faith, anointed men and women, and they've called on God without any doubt that he'll perform. Do you know, there's nothing worse than saying, this is going to happen, it doesn't happen. You say with your full assurance, listen, this is going to happen, nothing happens, and you fall flat on your face. You end up in a position of shame, and reproach comes onto your life. So how can we avoid that? With the anointing. Amen? If we stay faithful to God, he'll honor us. When we place a demand on our calling, he will honor that demand. Amen? So whatever you're called to be, whatever you're called, when you start to place demands on your calling, God will notice, he'll take notice of that. Amen? Amen? Say this morning, I am a champion for Christ. Amen. It's a process becoming a champion. Amen, Joe? It's a process. You don't just become a medalist overnight. It's a process. You're only a potential champion until you become a champion. Amen? You're only a potential champion until you become a champion. And the potential champion faces the biggest single risk to a potential champion is what? He may never actually become a champion. Yeah? It's like Johnny, your football team, they're going to do well in Jesus' name, but the biggest risk to them and their morale and everything is that they never see themselves as more than potential champions. There's a championship waiting for them to win. But if they never see that they have more potential, if they don't do something with the potential that they have, they won't become champions. Amen? And it's like us too. The potential we have that we do nothing about can be lost. It can just disappear and we'll be replaced. Do we want to be replaced in God's end time plan? Uh-uh. We don't want to be replaced. In Revelations 3:11, it says, because you've kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, and here's the killer one. This is the one. Hold fast what you have, that nobody may take your crown. Hold fast to what we've got, to hold fast to what we've got, so that no one will take our crown. Hillsong sang a great song called Darlene Check sang it. You've won the victor's crown. The beautiful song. And so we need to hold on. And so finishing off with just one more champion, and you can read about this champion in 2 Kings, Elijah. Amen. Do you know Elijah? Actually, can I read this little bit from verse 7 in 2 Kings 1? This is basically, to put it in a bit of context quickly, the king of Samaria, a guy called Ahaziah, basically fell through his ceiling. He fell through his ceiling or his roof, and he injured himself. So he sends one of his servants to go and find out from one of their gods, little g, gods, will my injury heal up and will I be okay? So the servants, they go out, but God speaks to Elijah and says, there's Ahaziah sending out some servants to go and find out from their god, Baal, all right? We spoke about Baal a few weeks ago, if he's going to be all right. Rise up and go out and meet those servants and say, what do you think you're doing? Why are you going to ask your god if everything's going to be okay with the king? Your gods know nothing. They're dead. The only way you'll get that information is from my God, the King of Kings. Amen? So in verse 7, this is actually really funny. He says, then he said to them, what kind of man was... Because they go back to the king and they say, listen, this guy stopped us. Then he said to them, what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words? So they answered him, a hairy man, wearing a leather belt around his waist. A hairy man came and stopped us. And he says, Elijah the Tishbite. So obviously this guy Elijah, I mean, this hairy man, was known. He's like, who is this guy? Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on the top of a hill, and he spoke to him, man of God. Now, when someone comes to you and says, man of God, or woman of God, you know that the next thing that's coming is there's going to be a demand placed on you, or there's going to be a challenge coming your way. And that is why when we say we're a man of God or a woman of God, we need to be able to walk in that. And because the potential that can be removed from us, that we can be replaced, we've got to walk in that so that we don't, if we compromise and we give in, then we can lose that. So he says, man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Wow. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. This is second round two. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God came down and consumed them. Round three. Again, he sent a captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. This guy had some wisdom. And pleaded with him and said to him, man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. What a change of attitude. look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s with their 50s. But let my life now be precious in your sight. Amen. Wow. Great story. He was a man of God. Why was he a man of God? Because he'd been close with God for a long time. He was anointed, he was appointed, and he was chosen. And people will have certain expectations of us if we are men or women of God. Amen? If you're a divine champion, people will expect to see miraculous things happening in your life. And they will believe that you have the power that goes with your calling. When you go up there, right, if you go into the ring as medalist Joe Kelso, right, people say, we know Joe, he's a medalist. So he's bringing his game with him. We know what this guy's capable of, all right? We know what this guy's capable of. But now if Joe has a bad day in the ring, or if you go in there and you've forsaken your discipline as a boxer, as a champion, you've let it go, and you've basically let yourself go. But people are there saying, this is a champion. We've come to see a champion. Do you understand what I'm trying to get through to you here this morning? The question is, do we have the power that goes with our calling? And that is why we need to be anointed. Amen. So I'm finishing with this. When we lay a demand on God, do you know that you can do that? You can lay it, you can make your request known to God. In fact, you can debate, deliberate, argue, take things to the Lord forcefully, all right? He can take it, all right? God's going to answer you, right, depending not on your past, but on your present, standing with him. God's not going to say, oh, Joe, I know the Joe of the champion of the past. He wants to see Joe, the champion of the present, standing in front of him. That's who he's looking for. The champion of the present moment, not the champion of the past. Amen? So we can't, it's like the victory laurels. You know, you heard that saying, you don't never rest on your laurels. You take them off your head, you put them under your backside, and you sit down, and they get crushed and broken. Amen? Elijah wasn't put to shame because of his standing with the Lord. He wasn't put to shame. Amen. And I declare in the name of Jesus, and we should all declare every day, that we will not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. But we will walk worthy. We will walk worthy of the calling that God has placed in our life. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.